Thank you, Ray and Vicky. Yes. Let me explain a little bit. This bell has been sitting outside of Building D, as we would call it, for about 49 years. We took it down so it could be in here with us today, scratched off the rust, and we asked the Johnson family to ring it because it was important to the neighborhood some 49 years ago to ring the bell when church started, and so that everyone in the neighborhood knew that they were going to be late or however it was, and it was time to walk up the hill or the path or whatever it was. We're going to explore the past today. I'm honored to get to do that with you, and then we'll be in the present, and Joe's going to come talk to us about the future. But I just, disclosure here, I was negative 5 years old in 1970, and if math is hard in the morning, yeah, I wasn't born yet. So I decided to start by diving into 1970. So I went to Google. Don't trust everything you read on the internet. I hope this is close to accurate. But the highest grossing movie was called Love Story. Does anyone know? Okay. Never heard of it. Come see me after church. Tell me all about it. It made a lot of money. I had heard of this, though. Of all of the songs that stayed at number one in 1970, with the Jackson 5 seeming like everything that they had was number one, Diana Ross, The Beatles, to name a few, a little song, maybe you've heard it, by Simon and Garfunkel, called what? The Bridge Over Troubled Water. I'm impressed. Stayed at number one for 6 weeks. Pretty cool song. I actually knew that one. Some other things. Apollo 13 had to radio back to Earth, Houston. We've had a problem. That happened in that year. Nixon was the president. You could build a new home for $26,000-ish. The average income was $8,700. That's 8700. $8,700. I'm not saying that wrong. It was $8,700 annually a year. Milk was $1.15 a gallon. Gas was 36 cents. And for you sports fans, the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Colts both won championships that year, making a big celebration in Baltimore, I imagine. Again, kind of went back just to get a feel for 1970, and then I continued searching. Well, if that's what was happening in the United States, what was happening around these parts? And I found this picture labeled 1967, and this is a picture of Spring Hill Drive and 19, which it looks like it had just been plowed as a dirt road, and all trees. Later that same year, I found a picture, which is with some paved roads. That's the fountain all the way at the bottom there of 19 and Spring Hill Drive, if you're familiar with the Spring Hill Fountain, and then one building, and the rest was trees. And there was interesting things happening in the county, like the world's chicken plucking championship. I wish I'm making that up for a laugh. I'm not. It was a thing that Spring Hill was known for in the early 70s.
First place,
yes. You were negative something also, I think.
1979, I was in the chicken
plucking. We'll look it up. Someone, I need a fact checker. 1979 champion? Oh, you were just in it. Okay, that's all right. Thank you for sharing. This.
We marched in the Espresso High School band, and we had the march in that parade up and down.
So it was a real thing. We have confirmed through audience participation this was a real thing. I'm not just making this up. What was happening here in 1970 is actually best told by this newspaper article I found that says, literally titled, "You Can Start a Church Anywhere in Florida!" exclamation mark. It says this, reading excerpts, "When Brother Stanley Johnson went to live in a small mobile home in the Woodlands, neighbors asked him to hold church services. This he did, 33 meeting on the patio of his small place for Bible study and worship on September 6th. The men of the community cleared a place in the woods and erected a crude shelter of heavy plastic, including a pulpit. A piano is provided, as is a communion table, and the people bring their own chairs." Think about that. Having had to load up your own chair as you came today. "Bible studies at 9:15 with worship at 10:15. The people come in unconventional attire." I was happy when I read that. "To study, sing, pray, partake in the Lord's Supper, and hear a gospel message." So although things have changed a lot in 50 years, Doesn't sound like church has changed all that much. And we'll get back around to that idea. Here's a picture of that early church meeting underneath their tent. Here's another picture of them worshiping from the back. You get to see some of the chairs and an early church sign, which looks like it was hand-drawn. I don't know why I like that so much, but 1970, again, I mentioned the bell would be rung, the people would hear, they would come and gather, and the tent wouldn't hold them forever. They needed, there was like a pole barn that was better than the tent with the trailer for a while. Building D is, you might know it, furthest over on the campus, kind of up the hill. This was after some expansion had happened and C was added, but when you find a picture where we actually had a steeple and another cool church sign, I don't know why I like the church sign so much, but it just, my wife and I got married in this building. This is where I did youth ministry super early. Just love these old pictures. We share this with foundations classes, people that are brand new, wanting to know what this church is all about. We kind of run through some of these pictures with them, so expansion was necessary, and I realized when I was speaking first service that I didn't want to make this about buildings so much, even though it helps tell part of our story, but building B, next building up the hill, maybe you've been to it. I was ecstatic when it was built because I thought it was going to be the answer to all of our the questions and the problems that we had with just meeting space, because there was people everywhere, and it seemed like we filled it up pretty soon after we moved in. We just kept being diligent and doing what the Bible tells us to do, and of course we get to sit in building A today, and again, to think about the people that had to be here, all of the events that led up to what we get to enjoy. We just want to give a nod to those committees, the buildings, the people that went head-to-head with the county to get these buildings built for us, and the sacrifice. When they built D and C, the people of the church built it themselves, because you were allowed to do things like that back then. We did this, and a lot of the people involved with this coming to was when we moved into this building. We had a little party in here before the building was actually open, and we asked people to grab one little piece, put a message on it. The Summers family, the Curry family, and the Peoples family kind of coordinated this. This has been hanging on the wall of the cafe since we created it and it opened, as a reminder of the people that were here during this phase of our life. I just love the little mementos that can remember, but it reminded me that it's not the buildings, it's the people that are important. And so we want to go through some key people. The Johnsons, Ray and Vicky, were here. He is one of those people. I'll let him tell you which one he is. Am I allowed to say the skinny guy in the back? I don't know. He's working the camera. I don't think he's allowed to talk right now. But Ray is in this picture, but his father, Stan Johnson, Miss Joy, as we called them, the boys, he was the brother, Stan Johnson, that started meeting on his porch and then turned things over when it was time. I'll get back to Dave, but Dave Pardue came and left, and Johnny Campbell, who just did the communion meditation for us, he filled in during that three-ish years of Dave not being here until he helped convince Dave to come back. And I sat in foundations classes for years with permission to tell this joke that when Dave returned, he came back with more children and less hair. And I could picture Dave hanging his head and grinning and letting the new members of the church laugh at us. Again, I can't point to any of these families that would say, look what I did, look what we did here, look at the things that we built. They would all say, listen, as I follow Jesus, I'm hoping people were following me, and give God the glory, and we'll keep touching on that, but we just love some of these families that have helped us get here to where we are 50 years later. In 1970, I found a picture. I believe this is Brother Stanley Johnson in the waters down the road a little bit there at Lake and Country Road-ish area. There was a lake. They had to dig a hole, I'm told, so they could get to waist deep. But here he is baptizing someone into a new relationship with Jesus. It was a great time then, and I have a picture I'll wait patiently for it. That just happened a couple weeks ago. This is Destiny, who was baptized by Trevor. And so, again, 50 years ago, they were opening the scripture with people, telling them who Jesus was, what a relationship looked like to have with him, and explaining how our sins are forgiven. Acts 2:38 says when we're baptized that our sins are forgiven and we get a gift of the Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of us. That hasn't changed in 50 years. We are still telling people that message, which is called the good news of how we are forgiven for our sins. And there's a big rock. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. I had dreams of the rock being here and the bell being here until I realized how heavy the rock was this week. So you get a picture. So these were the early church.
Happy anniversary, CCW.
Help me, sound booth. I'll get to that in a second. But they inscribed on the large rock, Matthew, is it 16th? I have it right here in front of me. Oh, no, I didn't. I flipped away from it. Let me tell you what it says, and you can come back and test me later. But Jesus is saying, who is everyone saying that I am? And people are giving their various answers. And he says, Peter, who do you say I am? So we call this Peter's confession here in Matthew. And he says, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he says to Peter, Peter is your name, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against my church. And so that was meaningful some 50 years ago that they put that on there. But I want you to notice it says, on this site, the first services of the church in the Wildwood Christian were held under a plastic shelter September 20th, 1970. To God be the glory. And when I went back and revisited the sign, and I realized that's what I'm saying. They were saying, hey, we're doing what God says, to God be the glory. These ministers that have led us here, hey, give all the praise and the glory to God be the glory. So we will say that again today as we do look at the past and we're thinking about the future. I know when you look back at 2020, you might think, what a year. I hope we never have to do this again. I'm reminded by the words in James, the very beginning. Read the whole book because it's a great book of the Bible. Read the whole Bible, but read James. And it says that through these trials, through the hard times, maybe even persecution, maybe even sickness or whatever it is that has got you down, these are the times that we learn to persevere and we learn to grow, which leads us to maturity in our faith. And so I hope you don't look back at a wasted year of 2020, but you look back at personal growth that you could have had, family growth. We all had to learn how to do things differently. In fact, we're online because it's something we wanted to do for a long time, and now we had to do it because that's how we were going to meet. It's not how we want to meet. We're still trying to find ways for those of you that are still online to get back to campus, because people's what's important, and online relationships are difficult. And you saw a little preview. I want to play a little video from people that were instrumental in my life along the way, and then I'll have some closing words for you. But watch this for a second.
Yep. Happy anniversary, CCW.
Happy anniversary.
It's been almost 20 years since we came. We were there for the 30th anniversary. And when we left, Tucker was 6 weeks old. This is now Tucker. He's about the age that Joshua McGrew was when we left, and he's my size. Kylie is here, too, and Kylie is 20, or 19, but when she's 20, she's going to be married to someone new that you guys don't know. That's Kyle. She'll be Kyle and Kylie Good here next year. We were asked to answer the question, what we loved about CCW, and main aspects I'd say were, they don't remember it, but just the relationships, the friendships. There was real kingdom work going on. Just the youth group was great. I think Dave and the leaders were one of the best leaderships that we ever had the chance to work with. And just there's so many people I'd love to mention, but then I'd end up missing people. But just real discipleship, real friendships, and it will always be the place where our family got the start. Kylie was born there, Tuck was born there, and our first ministry was there and has great memories. So love you, miss you, congrats.
Super big hugs. I wish I could hug you all.
She
love
does.
You all so much.
Bye.
I know some of you got to know the Langs because you've been here that long, but Melissa Wood, she would hug you so hard she'd crack your back. In fact, there's a great blooper reel that I'd love to show, but that's not what we're here for. Maybe I'll post it online. But I believe, because people are important, I'm glad CCW's here, but a Midwest boy who graduated from Bible college somehow answers a call to come to Wickiwatchee, Florida, and then somehow I get to volunteer with him. Hold on. Oof. Hold on. Just being at the right place at the right time, and he invited me into a discipling relationship, and really changed my life. And we got together with some other people, and we would ask people hard questions, like, are we loving our wives? Are we listening to what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives? Are we reading the Bible? Are we praying? And he all along the way said, hey, Jeff, one day, you know, you can be a youth minister. And I kept saying, I just got done with college. I'm not going back to Bible college. And he just kept saying, you know, God can do anything, right? And I was like, sure, but I like what I'm doing here. He left, took a calling as an associate back in the Midwest. And for 17 years, I've got to minister to you. It's been a pleasure. And I want you to look around. I recompose myself because there's a relationship in here for you. I believe that's why we gather together. It's to celebrate. It's for fellowship. It's to share our burdens with one another. But if you haven't let your guard down, if you haven't been as honest, which means sharing your entire lives with people, even the bad stuff, there's a relationship in here. Might start in a small group, a mentoring group, a one-on-one conversation with men, with women, in a recovery group. It doesn't matter what it's like, but if you believe you're a mature believer, there's a question we like to ask around here, and it's, who are you discipling? I can't say that was a question that we've asked for 50 years, but I think it's a question that we will ask for the next 50. If you are new to this, you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, or you're brand new to it and you're still growing, your question is similar, but it's, who is discipling you? Go find someone who's a mature believer out in front of you. Ask for that kind of relationship. We truly believe these relationships will change your lives. There's two types of relationship. There's the one that you have with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, through His Son Jesus, the most important, and then the relationships that we can have with one another, not just here in church, but outside of these walls as we start thinking. So that was special. I didn't do that for a service, so that was just special for you guys. I'm going to click here. Yes, as I was trying to figure out what to say this week, these words of Paul to the church of Ephesus kept popping back into my head, so let me read them to you. He mentions earlier about his sufferings, and Paul had his fair share. Read through the New Testament if you're unaware of that, but this is his prayer for the Ephesians. This is how he wraps it up. This would be my prayer for us, but he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So him is talking about God. To him who can do more. So when my brain tries to think what church might look like in 50 years, will I be here? I doubt it. I hope Jesus returns before 50 years from now, to be honest. But I don't think my brain can understand exactly what church will look like. I got some ideas. I think we all do. But he who can think way better than we, what we think or imagine, according to his power that is at work with inside of us. I mentioned baptism when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. That power that our brains can't comprehend, but we try to wrap our minds around, it gets to live inside of us. Try to figure that out. That's that Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. It says, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so that would be my prayer, that we rely on him, that we lift him up in all the things that we do while we're here on mission to grow God's kingdom in this place. We don't get to decide exactly how it's being grown all over the world and in different ministries, even in the church up the road, but we get to influence how it's happening right here. And so that's my prayer, that that's how the church will continue to look and act and love on the community around us. Speaking of the community around us, we're done with the past, but something happened last week, and our brothers and sisters in Christ sent us a video to celebrate it. Let's watch this.
Good morning.
If I messed it up, fix it for me, please.
Good. Good.
Oh.
Good morning.
Hold on. The sound booth, we're going to use their skills.
Good morning, Christian Church in the Wildwood. We are so honored to be here with you in video form anyway this morning, celebrating your 50th anniversary. Let me tell you how huge that is. I've been going to CCW since I was like 5 years old, way back in the 80s, because I'm that old. But I can tell you one of the things that you guys are super good at, that we've carried into our new family, which is Christ Family Christian Church, by the way, is you guys are a loving family. You guys love on people. You accept people right where they're at, the way Jesus would have done it. You guys are also family, and so we wanted to make sure when we planted in Homosassa, Florida, that the word family was in our name. And so if you look behind me, here's a big chunk of our family. Some people are home today, not feeling well, but at the end of the day, we are meeting under a tent. And why that's special to you is because you started 50 years ago under a Visqueen tent on the property you're on. And today, as God worked it out, we started the day in Homosassa, Florida, under a tent. Tents have changed a little bit. Ours is bigger than yours, haha. Just kidding. But we're proud of you guys. 50 years is it's nothing to sneeze at. We're so proud to have been sent from you. We're taking the things you guys made us good at into a new place. So happy anniversary. I want to say it with all my friends here. We're going to say happy anniversary. Ready? Ready? Happy anniversary!
Yes, I don't think they had to bring their own chairs either. So we're glad that they could send them out. They really wanted to be here, but since they started last week, we just said, doesn't make sense. Send us a video. We love you guys, but go do week two really good up there in Homosassa. So that concludes the past, and that we have a little business to do. It's my honor to run our annual congregational meeting. The state of Florida wants us to do one of these per year. We did one earlier in the year to help CFCC secure their loan in order to move up to Homosassa. So this is actually our second one this year. But if you are a member of the church and you are 18 years or up, there were some ballots out in the hallway. That's the only place they are, because this is an online vote. We're voting for two things, which is the 2001 budget as well as affirming elders. And so I'm just going to explain that to you on your sheet. I know some people voted instantly, left it at the table. People that are online, you're going to receive yours on Monday at some point, and you'll have till Friday to send them out. But on your ballot, it says that you can put yes or no to affirming the 2001 budget. That is our best plan to use the tithes and offerings of the church to accomplish ministry here. You can vote yes, which affirms, no, which says we got something wrong, or you can abstain, which doesn't affect the vote. Also, in the elders, I have an update for you. Mike Cupp has withdrawn his nomination for this year. I believe next year you'll see Mike Cupp's name pop up again, so you don't have to fill out that section. Or if you want to tell Mike you love him, you can still hit yes. But Kevin Young is up for nomination. The elders believe he will be a good addition to the team, and so you can vote yes to affirm that, no if you think we have something wrong, or you can abstain, which won't affect the vote. If you brought it into worship from the table, you can just fold it up and hold it up in the air, and usher will come by and grab it, or you can take it back out to the table as we conclude, and so the business meeting portion of the service is over. And I've got another video for you to watch that explains a little bit of 2020 to you.
This is truly an unprecedented situation.
This virus doesn't discriminate. It attacks everyone.
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead.
The coronavirus has changed life as we know it across America. But how did we go from zero cases to having more than any other country?
This is certainly not a moment for panic or high anxiety. It is a moment for vigilance.
I have today declared that the coronavirus presents a public health emergency in the United States.
Public health emergency.
A declaration of emergency.
State of emergency.
COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
Meanwhile, several colleges took their classes online.
When the darkness falls, it won't prevail.
We're excited to do church in a new and creative way this morning. And we just want you to know that, and I think we can address the elephant in the room here, that we all wish we could be together, obviously. But we love you. We're praying for you. Enjoy the live stream.
I'm gonna sing your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna
guys, here again with some of our kids. So we have many more of these kids, and they are actually in a different location right now. But I just wanted to say that these are the kids that you guys are blessing. And thank you so, so much. Thank you once again. Guys, just everybody wave and say thank you. Thank you, Bolo Sam Dorset. Thank you, Bolo. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Next one, I need it.
Every war he wages, he will win. Oh, I'm not backing down from any giant. I know how this story ends. I know, yes, I know how this story ends.
The Village, because of you, students, real people, men and women, young men and women, they have a home and they have a family. So the bad news was, we're not building a house for chickens. The good news is, because of you, we're building a house for people. Thank you very much. And I hope you'll carry this truth, this hope, in your hearts as you continue to worship the God who made it all possible.
Yes, I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory.
For the battle,
the battle belongs to you. Now I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Y'all praise the Lord for what he is doing. He is faithful and worthy to be praised. Do you believe that? Wow. I mean, I think about this because I've heard it over and over again, and I don't know if you're one of these people, but it's like, I can't wait for 2021. I can't wait for, because everything's going to change magically in one day on January 1st from, you know, how it's going like that. But no, it's not. And in fact, we don't really needed to. I mean, things have been changing since 1970 and 71 and 72 and through the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and here we are, and we can praise God for what he is doing in our lives as individuals through the power of his Holy Spirit, working through his word and changing us, and that is reason to celebrate, and you are fruit of this. I'm looking out at you. I'm thinking about all of you watching online. I'm thinking about those up in Building B, and I love you. I love this family. Look around this building, all ages and backgrounds and hundreds of souls, people who God loves and is ready to work and use in his kingdom. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for 50 years, and praise the Lord for 2020. You know, there's been a person that's been instrumental in the life of Christian Church in the Wildwood over the last 25 years. And I'm going to go ahead and take an opportunity to embarrass and thank and get him and his wife, Brenda, up on the stage right now. His name is Jesse Diaz. Y'all know Jesse Diaz. Jesse's our worship leader. For over two decades, y'all, Jesse has helped make and create through the power of God what you see and hear and experience here on Sunday mornings as our worship leader. Brenda by his side, his family, you guys all wave. There's a bunch of them here, somewhere here first service, doing ministry together. Jesse is a dear friend of mine and many of you. He's a great father, a grandfather of 15. I know it's hard to believe at 35 years old, he's got 15 grandchildren. Praise God for that Puerto Rican blood, never ages. But Jesse's using his degree in social work right now to work with veterans in our community all the way to Hillsborough County and beyond. So Jesse, thank you for using your gifts and talents. Brenda, thank you for your marriage, your example to us. Thank you for leading with service. Jesse doesn't want any of the glory and any of the honor. It was like twisting his arm to get up here today. But I've got to say thank you. Thank you for your ministry, for your friendship, for influencing all of us, for leading us to the throne of Jesus every single week, and for pouring your heart into the ministry of this church, and more importantly, the people that worship here. And I say these words with some bittersweet feelings, because today is the last day that Jesse will be leading worship here at CCW. Jesse and Brenda, again, we reason to praise God is moving them into a new adventure in their life, as they are taking their talents and abilities and ministry up to Homosassa. They're going to be helping Christ Family Christian Church, just as they have done here. Yep. Help build their worship ministry, reach people that don't know Jesus yet, and I'm just really excited for them as much as I'm going to miss you guys. And they're not leaving the area. I mean, we're still going to be around. In fact, you're probably still going to see them up here every now and then leading and worshiping and, you know, behind the scenes playing drums or whatever, but most of his influence, Jesse and Brenda, some of their family are already up there doing ministry in Homosassa. So Jesse, I want to pray with you. I just want this to be an opportunity for us as your family to say thank you. Brenda, say thank you for all that God's doing through you. So let's pray and just give God thanks. You are an amazing God, and you've given us a great gift. And Brenda and Jesse and their family, God, is such an amazing thing to know the ripple effect of just one person's life. God, thank you. Thank you for the lives that these two have touched, the lives that their family is touching right now. God, through our youth ministry, the ministry at Go Church, right here on this campus, and at Christ Family Christian Church too. Thank you for the amazing way that you've used Jesse here at CCW. God, I pray a blessing on them and their family, his ministry. Continue to use him in the lives of our veterans. God, I pray that you would continue to open doors like only you can, because this man, my brother, will give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory every single step of the way. He always has, and he will. So God, please, go with them as they leave us. Help them to feel and understand and know our love for them, our prayers for them, and our gratefulness to you for them. God, we do praise you and give you thanks for Jesse, Brenda, for all you've done through them and will continue to do. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. Amen. Brenda. Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thanks. A wise man told me after first service today that, you know, like change is part of growing. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that God is just constantly working in our lives in ways that move men and women of God from one place to another, from in and out, intersecting with our lives as we do. And you've probably crossed paths with somebody this week that needs Jesus. You might be that person that needs Jesus today. Maybe this is your first time in worship with us, or maybe your first time watching. Maybe this is the first time that you've seen a family of God. And believe me, CCW is not perfect. Y'all know that. We've been through all kinds of stuff, and we'll continue to work and grow because you know what? That's what families do. We love each other through the thick and the thin and the ups and the downs. And maybe this is your first time experiencing a church family that loves each other and stands together and grows together. A church family that's able to celebrate the past, because that's what we're doing today. But also, knowing that God is ahead of us and God is with us in this very moment, growing through the present. We do celebrate the past, but we're growing through the present. Do y'all feel that growth a little bit? Like stretching and wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, it's happening not only in our own lives, but in our county and in our country, and it's just growing us through the present. And if God wills, and we live, as James says, and we do this or that, we might just wake up tomorrow morning and live for Him another day. And as those days stack up onto each other, we can look forward to a future of serving Jesus together like we have for the last 50 years, into another half century or more. And I believe with all my heart that as long as we are here, standing on the foundations of the Scripture, that God is going to continue to use you and use me and use us together. And one day, we're going to see the kids over here in our preschool department. Right now, those little babies, those preschool students, 50 years from now are going to be standing here on stage. They're going to be sitting next to you. They're going to be leading ministries and telling people about Jesus in our community. Think about that. I'm 54 years old. There's a four-year-old back there that's going to be my age one day. I don't know what God's going to do, but He's doing it. Why? Because we're serving and we're making disciples. There's people on Expedition Kids, little kids right now. They're going to be, you are going to have an influence on their life so they can have this ripple effect that throughout other people's lives as well. Our youth ministry, our middle school and high school kids. What an opportunity we have to just catch a vision of not just the present, and not even just the past, but for what is to come. And praise God and trust God for that. You know, Proverbs says that without vision, the people will perish. They'll go unrestrained from God's word. But it also says in that same verse that happy are those who keep the law of the Lord. And I promise you, as a leader here, as a servant, the elders, the staff, those of you who know exactly what this church is all about, we will continue to stand on the Scriptures of Jesus and allow His Holy Spirit to let those words come alive in our lives as we lead and as we grow, as we celebrate and as we look forward to the future. Y'all, we have a vision here. Vision. That's what this series is about. That's what today is about, this vision of what God can do. And we've been working over the last couple of months now, we've been praying, we've been fasting, been thinking about, you know, how do we kind of say in a short, like, bumper sticker, what it is that we're here to do, what it is we want God to do through our ministry here at CCW. And we came up with these words: to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. To bring the hope of Jesus to all people. That's our vision. Bring the hope of, say that with me, all right, on three. I just want you to say it out loud. One, two, three. To bring the hope of Jesus to all people. That's our vision. And I believe it's the best vision in the world because that's the heart of Jesus. It reflects His heart. It captures the heart of our Savior and Lord, who? Jesus. Yes, Jesus. So don't make any mistake about it. As Jeff's already said, it's not about our programs. It's not about the buildings or even, it's about one person. And one person only, that we would lift up the name above all names, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came from heaven to earth to live a perfect life before our eyes, who taught and healed and gave and served with compassion and loved those around Him. He came to bring the hope of Jesus, to bring the kingdom of God to all people. And Jesus, He died a perfect death on the cross for our sins. As Johnny said earlier, that's why we celebrate it every single Sunday around the Lord's table. And Jesus, after He died for 3 days, He was in the grave. He rose again from the dead to live and to help, to know that we can live. And not just for today, but for all of eternity. And this vision that Jesus gave us, this vision tells us exactly why He healed and why He gave and why He lived and why He died and why He rose again, so that we can live that vision too. You know, there's a lot of places in the Scriptures that teach us and show us the vision and the heart of Jesus. And one of my favorites is in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. So very quickly, I want you to go there and look at it in your Bibles, just a few short verses. Matthew 9, I want to look at verses 35 through 38, okay? Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Because here's the thing, as we talk about this vision, Jesus came with a vision for the world that he was coming to, but he also came with a vision for you and for me and for every single human being that ever took a breath and ever will. There's no one outside the vision of Jesus. As we read these verses, you got to know that Jesus has been teaching. He's been doing these miracles, things only God could do. He's been driving out demons and healing the blind. And here in 9:35, we see the reason for that vision, for the great works of Jesus. Check these out. Verse 35, chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news. The what? The good news. So capture this now. Jesus is, he's come to bring the good news, the salvation, the hope that we have in the Messiah. He's come to bring the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus came to bring hope to people. See that? Check out the next verse. 36. When he, Jesus, simple word, see it? Saw. Circle it. Underline it. Such a simple, simple word. Jesus saw. Vision. Perception. Understanding. Jesus saw the crowds, the people, and he had compassion on them. And this word compassion, it means to feel to the depths of our bodies, a very physical term, like in our heart, stomach, our entrails inside, to feel deeply compassion. In fact, feel so deeply that you can't not act as a result of it. Compassion means feeling, but it also means taking action. And that's what Jesus is doing. He looks, he sees the crowds, he has compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We just closed the gap on 2,000 years of history right now. And you tell me, do we live in a world today? Maybe someone here today, maybe you understand what it means to be harassed, helpless, hurting. Do we not live in a world that seems lost, like sheep without a shepherd? We capture the vision of Jesus. In verse 37, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field, into this broken and lost and hurting and harassed world." He needs workers. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Y'all, this is us. To bring the hope of Jesus to all people, just like Jesus said to do. In Matthew 10, if you look ahead, you see that he's doing just that. He brings his 12 disciples together. He gives them authority to heal and to preach, and he sends them out, and they catch the vision themselves. For the next couple of years, they're following Jesus. They're doing ministry. They're doing these incredible things. They watch Jesus die on the cross and raise from the dead. And then after Jesus does that, he gets ready to go back to heaven, and he gives them the great commission that we've read this morning, Matthew 28, to go and to make disciples of all nations. That's our mission. And it's preceded by a life of vision. You see, and here at CCW, our vision and our mission reflect the heart and the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what this is about. In Jesus, again, not about buildings and programs and things. It was about people. Did you catch that? Jesus saw people. He had a vision for people. He went to people. He had compassion on people. He healed people. He prayed for people. And as Jesus followers, our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus to what? All people. That's what our vision's about. And it starts right here in this place with the person next to you and around you, maybe or the people you know in your neighborhood or in your home. It starts right here in Hernando County, Citrus County, Pasco. I don't know if you know this or not. I did some real quick research, but Hernando County now has 200,000 people living here. Did you know that? 200,000 people live in Hernando County, and a recent survey said that of those 200,000, 27% report any kind of faith at all. 27%, not just Christian, any kind of faith. Now, if I did my math right, but I probably didn't, that says that at least 100,000 people and as many as 140,000 people are unchurched and lost and don't know Jesus. 140,000 people that live right here. If your vision is to have a church of 1,000, knowing that there's 100,000 lost people running around our county, if you think that coming to church and worshiping because we've got a wonderful band, and you get to see a speaker, and you get to hang out with your friends and gather in this place is the vision of Jesus, we need to repent of that. If we could just see what Jesus saw as we look at the crowds and look at the people and look at the hurt and look, they're here. We've got a responsibility to them. One example is that the average median income in Hernando County is $8,700. I'm kidding. That was back in 1970. $50,000 is what the average household makes, or the median household makes. That's pretty good. But the bad news is 14% of Hernando County live beneath the poverty line. We've got a 4.2% unemployment rate. Now, that's down 9% since 2010. That's the good news. But 4%, over 4% of our people are unemployed. Disability, grandparents raising their grandkids, tons of things unique to our county. In fact, we're third in the state for Chapter 13 bankruptcies being filed. Hernando County. See, we're hurt. We're harassed, helpless. There's people just need to know the hope of Jesus. So what do you see? What do you see when you walk your neighborhood? What do you see in the neighborhood around us? Do you feel for them? Do you understand with compassion like Jesus had? Just think about this. And in fact, as we look around, Hernando County is unique in this way too. 27% of our population is age 65 and over. 27%. Let's hear for our seniors. Woohoo! Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise too hard. We don't want to lose you. All right. No. Look, I'm getting there real fast. We're growing older, but man, what a powerful mission field. 14% are U.S. veterans. They've served in the military of some sort. That's why, Jesse, what you're doing is so important to us. Yes. We're also getting younger. We've got preschoolers everywhere. I'm not going to get into all the numbers. It's just crazy. We've got a high school, middle school. We've kindergarten through 12th grade students within a stone's throw of here at Winding Waters and Weekiwachee High School. Our mission field is ripe for the harvest. A school filled with students and administrators and teachers need the hope of Jesus. Maybe we can pour into them. And not only that, but if you look around, you drive around our neighborhood for just a few minutes, you're going to see all kinds of people. People are moving to Hernando County. Do you see it? I mean, we've got senior living centers popping up and apartment complexes and neighborhoods, Section 8 housing, all spectrums of backgrounds and races and are coming here to live. From the Heather across the street, all the way up to Royal Highlands and everywhere around, just within a few miles of this place, CCW. And just capture the vision. Capture your role in that vision and see what Jesus has given us. What an amazing responsibility. And I think for just a second, if you just understand that you know people and you know Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus and you know that you have been changed by Jesus and you're on mission for Jesus, you know Jesus and you know people. You know the way, the truth, and the life, as Jesus says. The only way to the Father is through Him. So as we just understand that and come together as a family and say, yes, let's bring the hope of Jesus to all people. What is He doing in our lives? What is He doing in your life and in my life as disciples of Christ, as thousands of souls come to Christ? Past, present, and future, your neighbors, your friends, your kids, your parents, transformed from the inside out by the life-changing power of Christ. I want you to see, man, these Sunday morning services, I love these gatherings that we have every Sunday, but this is a headquarters. I want you to see this. This is a headquarters where we get together And we want to be a ministry training center to be able to train and equip the saints to do the work of service like God says to do, so we can get out of here and infiltrate our communities and our homes. Because you've got parents and grandparents and kids and people in your neighborhood. Look, we want to start a ministry training center where we know you're through the classes and small groups that you're going to be. We're also a locker room here. This is a locker room. It's not just a place to come sing. We're going to come here. We're going to get charged up. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to study God's word, get on the same page, and then go out into the playing field as God's team to win souls for Christ. We're also a recovery center. I don't know if you knew this or not. Through Cornerstone and Celebrate Recovery, people are coming in with hurts and habits and addictions and financial struggles. And through the love of Jesus and for the glory of God, we're able to minister to them. And this is just what's happening now. Imagining what God's going to do in the future as he grows these ministries into a community that needs it. Some of you are here today because of that. You know the life-changing power of Christ because he's helped you to overcome those things. We're also a community center. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are not many gymnasiums in Hernando County, and we have one. And every day it feels like there are people coming to CCW to do things in our gym. We are a community center. How can we expand that out? How is God going to use our facilities, our classrooms, our activities throughout the week? How is he going to use the disciple makers that lead those ministries to lead people to Christ? Because that's you and that's me. I want you to see this place, see the things that God is doing just on this campus alone as people come. People know CCW's here. They know that Jesus people hang out here. They also know, Lord willing, that Jesus people leave here and go out into the community to share and bring the hope of Jesus into their lives. The lives of real people, you guys, with names, and souls, and kids, and grandparents. Maybe today, if I ask you, I'm going to ask you, there's going to be a slide up there for you to just think. It's because bringing the hope of Jesus to all people starts with bringing the hope of Jesus to one person. One person at a time. So maybe today, you would think of that one person. Just one person in your life. Maybe you're that person. Maybe you need the hope of Jesus. You write your name down there and talk to somebody before you leave today, because that's why we're here. But think of I want you to see a face right now. I want you to think of a name right now. I want you to, if you need to close your eyes and just picture your next door neighbor, maybe somebody in your home, maybe somebody in a classroom six next to you in school that needs to know the hope of Jesus. And I want you to commit. Write their name down. Write it down inside your bulletin notes online on the link tree. There's a place to do this. Write their name down and pray for them every single day, this week, next week, as God opens a door for you to share the hope of Jesus with them. And don't stop praying. Jesus said, ask the Lord. We got to be people of prayer, y'all. People of the word. I'm excited about next year. And not just here in Hernando County, but around the world, in India and Haiti and Thailand. We've got missionaries in this room sending you away to go on mission trips. Think about this. You are church planters. You are disciple makers. So think about that person. And I want you to think about yourself. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? There's a website up there that you can go to called Who's Your One. It's a great resource. We've got other things you can do as next steps to visit with us. I want you to come back for the rest of the series. We're going to expound on our mission statement to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. But right now, I'm just going to ask you to stand and have a word of prayer with me as we celebrate. And don't leave. This song that we're about to sing is a blessing. It's a blessing from God to his people. We see it in Deuteronomy 6 and Numbers chapter 7. We see him doing this through Moses. And I believe that if we will embrace and claim and accept and understand this blessing from God unto his people, that we will leave this place in a mighty way, just ready to go. And we're going to be joined by some missionaries and some others who have joined us for this song. So you'll see them on the video as well. But we're going to make this a song of worship and a song of saying, God, yes, use us. Use us to be on mission for you. We've got your vision. We're going to leave this place to go and to be who you called us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're amazing and we love you. Thank you. Thank you for using CCW over the last 50 years, the lives that represented in this room, God. I thank you for the shoulders that we stand on, those great men and women who came before us, who poured into our lives. God, we've seen their pictures and we've said their names, but each and every one of us has a story. Because of the Dave Pardues and the Joe Millers and others who have come before us, God, for the Johnsons and the Campbells and others who have preached here, our elders and our servant ministry leaders and small group leaders, each and every one of us connected somehow in some way to the past, in the present, for the future. So God, we lift this place up to you. We lift up each and every life, each and every family, each and every generation up to you. Generation past, this generation today, use us, God, to influence those around us for generations to come. Thank you for your blessing and thank you for your favor upon us, God. Lord, I boldly pray that if we stop living for you and your mission, if this becomes about us, that you would just stop us from doing this anymore. But God, if we are on a mission for you and we capture that vision of Jesus for our lives and for lives to come, God, nothing would stop us. Nothing. Storm the gates of hell for your kingdom, God. Take lives back for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.